The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto. So today it's absolutely pouring it down in Spain. It's freezing cold. It's grey outside. We got some firewood delivered yesterday that was plonked outside. It's still outside. It's now wet firewood. We've got the heater on in the front room, so if you hear any background noise, it's either the tinkling of the water on the windows or it's the heater keeping me warm in my home office here at the villa in Spain. Forget about all that. What I wanted to talk to you about today was about which character are you playing in your own hero's journey. So think about this. Imagine that you are in a TV film or a TV show, or you're in a film and you know it's a story about your life. How would you like it to look? How would you like it to end? How would you like it to turn out in the end? And so we call this a hero's journey. We're all on our own individual hero's journey. Now, interestingly, I was just researching this just before. There's 12 steps to a hero's journey. I'm going to go through those. But I also wanted to use some examples. And then I also wanted to pull in your own experiences, which is very difficult for me because I don't know who you are, right? So I'm going to use my own experiences to give you examples of my own hero's journey and how that sort of pans out. So let's just run through this because it's really interesting because from an inspirational and motivational point of view, if someone in 50 years' time was writing a book about you, how would you like it to look? How would you like it to lead, to read even? Like, you know, chapter one, page one, Dan was a grumpy bastard. It's probably not really what I want. However, sometimes that could be what the first words are, because sometimes I can be a little bit grumpy, you know. But okay, so let's go through the hero's journey. Let's go through the 12 steps and see how this adapts for you in your own hero's journey. Stick with me on this one because this is going to be a bloody awesome podcast, okay? So there's 12 different stages. So stage one is the ordinary world. So this is basically where everything's normal, the hero's fine. So in my story, And you've got your own stories, okay? So work with me on this. Where are you in your ordinary world? In my story, I'm a dad with a partner with two kids. We've got a successful business. Now, by the way, you can have sub-hero journeys. So my big hero journey is the family court stuff, you know, fighting for the kids. That's the thing that's consumed my life for the last 7 or 8 years. And will probably consume it again. Within the stage, if you like, using the film analogy, of that, as a backdrop, there are hero journeys in there as well. So the hero journey before the kids being abducted and being taken and so on, the hero's journey before that was I was just a normal guy going to work, hated my boss, and that's my ordinary world. I was no different to you or I, no different than anybody else. I don't have a degree, I've just got GCSEs, get in. There's nothing special about me in terms of who I was, and that's my ordinary world. And so in a film situation, they present the person as normal because that anchors them as being just a normal human. So let's take an example. Let's take Luke Skywalker. We're going to use a lot of sci-fi films because I love sci-fi. But if you take Luke Skywalker, you know, he wanted to run off and join the rebellion and he couldn't. He had to be a farm boy and everybody stopped that. And then that leads us on to step two, which is the call to adventure. So this is where the hero receives like a call to action, which can be a threat to his safety or his family or to his way of life. So for me, my call to action with my kids was, me and the missus split up and then she moved into another house, which I paid for. And then one day I went round and kids were gone. The house was completely empty. Next door neighbours didn't know anything and nobody knew anything. And we phoned the police and the police weren't interested. And so that was my call to adventure, if you like. Now, I wouldn't call it an adventure. I would call it something else. But ultimately, that's what it is. And by the way, it's not what happens to you that's important, but it's how you deal with what happens to you. So if you want to call that a devastation, then you can call it a devastation. But that isn't a conducive word that will help you get off your backside and stop you feeling sorry for yourself, if that makes sense. But if you called it an adventure, an opportunity to build character, to battle against evil in a world full of evil. One man. So if you imagine that and change the words to suit the journey that you're about to go on, you suddenly start to get a completely different perception of what you're actually going through. Now, interestingly, sometimes in films, there is a refusal of the call to action. So some people, they get offered this, so they've got a normal life and they get offered this opportunity because something's going to happen, but then they refuse to go down that path because it's too difficult, it's too hard, the crops still need going. They're not here for adventure, they're here to work, all that sort of stuff. And so, like, in the real world, I don't really think we have a refusal of this call to go on this adventure, if you like, this hero's journey, because usually we've got no choice. So for me, I mean, I did have a choice, never see the kids again, but what sort of choice is that? Let's take someone who's got an illness, you know, and people call them very brave, and yes, they are very brave, but ultimately they've got no choice. You know, it's not a choice to have the illness, you know. So they have no choice than to strive forward. Or they can give up. That is the choice. And that's not really a choice, is it, you know. And so whatever it is for you, whatever it is that you've gone through, recognize these 12 steps and turn them around into something positive. So then the next step, which is step four of the hero's journey, is this is where you meet a mentor. This is where someone comes into your world and you go, I want to be like that guy. And they come out and help you. And so that's the next step, if you like. And so I'll be honest, for me, when it was with the kids, I didn't really have a mentor. The only mentor I had was a solicitor. The solicitor was dire, by the way. I dread to think how many men's lives he's actually ruined from being crap. You know, it's all right to be crap at your job if you're a milkman, because the worst thing that happens is nobody gets milk. But if you're a crap job as a surgeon or as a family rights lawyer, then, you know, you've got a bigger problem, basically. So the meeting the mentor bit is really, really important, because all of this is where you reach this decision. So you've got your ordinary world. Something happens in that ordinary world. You might try and reject it and not go down that path. So every time I have to go into battle, and when I, you know, every time I have to write a complaint to yet another solicitor, which I've got to do again, or every time I have to write a response to a solicitor's letter, I don't really want to. I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to have to do it. I don't want to have to open up this wound yet again, delve into it and start, you know, I have to pick and choose my times in order to do that. So I also refuse the call. I totally refuse it, because I understand that the work that's in front of me to get beyond, to go through this hero's journey is huge. And sometimes I don't want that. I just want my life to be normal, whatever normal means. And normal is whatever you're used to, right? So if you get up and you drive a Bugatti every day, well, that's your normal. If you drive up and you know, cycle to work every day in a pouring down rain like it is now, then that's your normal. But for me, I love my normal. And I don't really want to have to delve into this open wound again and start digging that stuff up. So I have to pick and choose my times. And so my mentors along this journey are actually either people who've written in books or YouTube channels. So let's take someone like Grant Cardone, who's an awesome potential mentor, because his ideas about working hard and you know, life is always about work, but it's about integrating your outside life into your work so you can have the best of both worlds, right? Gary Vee, who I also admire, is also about working 16, 18 hours a day. Now, for me, in my normality, that's not really what I want to do. But if depending where you are in these 12 steps, that's what you might need to do. But then I've got other mentors. So I've got people like Tony Robbins, for example, you know, who loves the world, he's the light, you know, all that stuff. And then we've got Eric Thomas, who's the hip-hop preacher. Find these guys out on YouTube if you've never heard of them. And so I will take out the best of these and integrate them into being me so that I can perform at my best when I need to perform at my best. So then, okay, so you've got the mentor. Now, many people actually resent having a mentor. They push them back. They don't want a mentor, which is crazy from my point of view, because the stuff that you already know has got you to where you already are, and it's not got you any further than that. The stuff that will get you further than that is by you having a mentor. And that can be a direct coach, or it can be someone on YouTube, or it can be listening to my podcast. But I see so many people who push them back. So let's think about this. Let's look at these four steps. So we've got Ordinary World, Luke Skywalker's a farm boy. Call to Adventure, it's basically where his aunt and uncle get killed. He actually then meets the mentor, doesn't he? He finds Ben, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Ben tries to bring him into the fold, if you like. There was a refusal of call just before the call to adventure in Luke's story. But then he's got the mentor. And then the step five is crossing the threshold. So this is where the hero's actually ready to... He's made his decision, or her decision, and they've got no choice than to move forward. And so think about this in your story. I had no choice than to move forward. And then that interestingly moves on to the next step, which is finding allies and working out who your enemies are. So in my story, I had a good friend of mine called Dave, because we've all got a mate called Dave, haven't we? And he was the guy that when I was very emotionally upset about certain things, he would calm me down and help me reframe what was actually going on. Because sometimes the way in which we see the world is not actually how the world is, it's just how we see it. And that's dependent upon how we feel emotionally and so on. Or if we wake up in a bad mood, then the bad thing that happens to you two hours later might not be as bad if you woke up in a good mood. The thing is still the same, but it's how your perception is towards it. And so he helped me with that. And then understanding your enemies, and also your enemies sometimes don't feel like enemies. Sometimes your enemies are the people that you hire to help you along your journey, such as, in my case, the solicitor. In Luke Skywalker's, he understood who his allies was, and then he understood who his enemies were. Sometimes the enemy can be a lot closer than you actually think. Sometimes it can be your family who is poo-pooing your ideas and saying, that won't work, that's rubbish. That'll never work, that. How many times have I heard those words? Like, loads of times. Okay, so that's step six. What about in your own journey? Have you identified your allies? Have you identified your enemies? And the identifying of allies is really interesting, because when you think about who can help you on your journey, get a sheet of paper and write down a list of all the people that can help you on your journey. And then when you've got that list, make contact with those people, because some of these people you might not be aware of. Make contact with them. Either get coaching from them, or become friends with them, or delve into their network, read their books, watch their videos, listen to the podcast, whatever that happens to be. And it may be that you also identify other allies that can come and help you, but you don't know them at all, so you've got to get into their network. Okay, so then we're on to step seven. And by the way, every single film that's a hero's journey type of film has all of these 12 steps in them. So the next one is what's called the... by the way, this hero journey came from a guy called Joseph Campbell. And he's a guy that basically wrote these 12 steps. And if you look at all of these, take Iron Man, for example. He'll have gone through all of these 12 steps. So step seven, approach to the innermost cave. So this is where the story has a backdrop. It's got like a location, if you like. And that backdrop is his or her greatest fear. By the way, if I use him or her, you know, it's just interchangeable. I mean, both sexes, right? So let's not get bogged down in that, because I keep having to double check it. But so there's a location, if you like, and this location can be a physical place, something that they're afraid of, or it can be a mental place, a place where they really don't want to go. So for me, that mental place of going into court, what do you think? Do you think going into court for family court hearings, having been yelled at the judge for not being able to see my own children for 3 weeks, and being called selfish because mum deserves a holiday, do you think that's quite a positive environment to walk back into the next time? I've got to tell you it's not, in case you wondered. And so I actually have to do some mental work on going to court. I prepare myself mentally for going into court. I suppose one of those pieces of preparation could be going and fighting 10 rounds with Mike Tyson, because that's what it feels like sometimes, having come out of court. But that's not actually what I do. So what I do is I use lots of work that will put me into a mental state, so that when I actually go to court, and I'm literally walking to court, because I've parked the car up, and even if it's raining, I can feel the sun on my back. It's a virtual sun that I can feel, and I'm very calm when I go into court, and I use some hypnosis stuff. And I use some other things as well, which if you want to find out what I use, then drop me an email. I'm not going to tell you on here, because the enemy is listening, I'm sure. But there are other things that I do, so I'm happy to tell you in a private message. But when I'm going into court, my location, my biggest fear is under control. I remember the very, very, very first time I went to court. representing myself, someone took us to court for my business because a tenant had damaged a property and the landlord was trying to blame us for it. And I remember pouring the jug of water and my hands were shaking and the water's going all over the table because I'm just a normal guy, right? That's the, you know, step one in a hero's journey. He's never had to go through any of that, you know? Now, that's my normality. Now I'm asking the other side, do you want some water? Do you want some water, Judge? You know, because I'm so used to being there. So step seven, the innermost cave is where the hero, the protagonist of the story, has to confront their demons. And then that moves on to the next step, which is ordeal. So they're having to confront their demons and they're having to go through this ordeal. So with Luke Skywalker, that dude's got to rescue the princess and then he's got to blow up the Death Star, right? That's his ordeal. In others, if you take Lord of the Rings with Sam, you know, he's got his own fears. He also has to work out his allies and who his enemies are. If you take, I can't remember the guy's name, I'm precious, that guy. What's he called? I keep wanting to call him Baldrick, but it's not Baldrick, is it? I can't remember his name. Anyway, so that guy's actually an ally, but he's also a hero, an enemy in disguise. And he actually looks like an enemy because of the way he looks and the way he acts and so on. But he's actually an ally, mostly, right? So sometimes that line crosses, doesn't it, between who is your hero and who are your allies, which is really interesting. So after step seven is step eight, which is the ordeal. So this is where they've got to go through some dangerous tests, some physical things, some deep inner spirituality has to come out in order for this person to survive this next bit. So what is it that you're going through? So your ordeal could be not having any money, right? That's your, you know, that's like step one, your ordinary world, your call to action, your refusal to call is you understand the amount of work that needs to be done. Step four is meeting the mentor. Step five is making the decision to cross the threshold and start doing work. Step six is to work out your allies and your enemies. Step seven is to confront the inner cave, which is maybe picking up the phone and cold calling. The ordeal is actually doing the work, finding the business and actually doing the work and going through it. Because then you, on the other side, which is step nine, is the reward, which this guy's called seizing the sword. And this is where you've done all the work, you've done all the effort, and on the other side, after defeating the enemy, after going through whatever ordeal is that you've had to go through, you finally get to your reward. So for me in family court, it was getting access to my kids. I mean, the access I got was crap in terms of the amount of time that I got. But I got access. That was a reward. That was the beginning of the ordeal and the reward. So these can, you can have subplots along the way, which is definitely what I've had. And it's what you will have as well. So, you know, you're in business, you've been in business 2 years, you've got all these little deals coming in, and then suddenly you've got this big deal. That's a subplot in the major plot. Does that make sense? And understanding that this is simply a story. Your life is simply a story. It takes all the pressure off. It takes all the edge off. I'll tell you a story. I was at an event and I was getting married and the following month, and I was at this event and we were supposed to go through this, what do we call it, a stag do that night, and they've got me on stage and they've got someone else on stage dressed in just a mankini. He had boxer shorts on, luckily, some pink leg warmers and a black cape. And they're like, okay then, Dan, you've got to wear this today, because if you don't wear this on your stag night tonight, we're going to do all sorts of bad stuff to you. And I'm like, oh no, I really didn't want to do it. And when you take this idea, this concept that life is just a story, and you get to be the hero, and you get to write the story, suddenly it all takes a different perception. So knowing that my life is a story, and knowing that it will be written about at some point, probably by me, maybe Brad Pitt will play me in a film in 10 years time, who the heck knows, right? But assuming I'm going to write this story, this next story that I'm about to tell you about the mankini is going to be in the book, right? So it's a funny story. So I'm like, oh, there's no way do I want to wear this mankini. A bit overweight at the time, I was embarrassed about my body, and I thought, oh, it was like 80 people in this room, and I thought, oh, I really don't want to do this. And I thought, it's going to get a lot worse. And I knew it was going to get a lot worse later. So I thought, okay. let's just do it. So I went to the loo, I got changed, I got into the mankini. And if you don't know what a mankini is, if you think Borat, the film, is wearing this bright green mankini, it was the same mankini, basically. I don't think it was Borat's, but it was the same shape and style. It leaves nothing to imagination, let's put it that way. So we had this cape, we had these pink leg warmers. And the guy that's speaking on stage is Kevin Green off Channel 4's Secret Millionaire. And he was the one who said I had to do this. So I was like, okay. And just before we did this, I spoke to the guy at the back of the room and got him to put some music on. And the music was, I'm sexy and I know it. So it was that music. So I was stood at the door, nobody could see. And then I nodded to the guy. And then suddenly the music started. Kevin was on stage, by the way, teaching people how to invest in property. And he was midway through a sentence. And then I run into this business seminar with 80 people dressed in nothing but a mankini, a black cape, and some pink leggings. And I run up to the back of the room. I do this little scream, and then I run down the middle, and all you can hear are these screams of delight from the audience. And I run up on stage, and I give Kevin a big kiss, and Kevin is bright red, he's totally shocked, it's hilarious. And then I run out. And afterwards, I gotta tell you, I felt two things. The first thing I felt was embarrassed. That's the first thing. The embarrassment didn't last very long. The second thing I felt was invigorated. It's like, dude, if you can do that in a room full of business people and feel invigorated afterwards, you can do anything. And it's like on one hand, like the embarrassment should have lasted longer than it did, but really, I don't care. I mean, like, I was overweight at the time, but who the hell cares? Who's not overweight these days? You know what I mean? Like, I'm 40-something, 42. Like, screw it. Who cares? But that one thing, that moment, will stay with me for the rest of my life. And it's like, when you put that into the story, like, does anybody really care? No. Do people think it's funny? Yes. Will some people have been offended? I bloody well hope so. Just screw them. Because that's what life is. Life is not this thing that we go through and we try and hide from everybody. That's not what we're put on the earth for. We're put on the earth to go out and be fucking amazing. That's what the story is about. It's about going out and doing crazy stuff. How many times have you seen crazy things in film and you go, I wish I was that guy? There's Guardians of the Galaxy, and the guy's from Earth and he's got a 1980s cassette player which he plays this song all the time. And then towards the end of the film, he starts doing his dance, like a Michael Jackson dance, and everyone's looking at him and he looks really daft because no one's ever seen him because everyone else is aliens. But we laugh at it because we think it's really funny. We think, oh, if I was in that situation, I'd do that too. And yet, when we get into these situations, what do? We don't do anything. We abide by the rules. We don't stand out. You know, you go to a weekend event, you got an opportunity. Let me give you another example, actually. You're in a bar and you see the girl of your dreams, and what do? You don't do anything. Like, if you were writing this as your book, you would go up and you would either come out with the best line or the worst line ever. She would either think you're amazing or think you're a complete idiot. Whichever one is fine, but it's a lot better than not doing anything at all. If you were to write this in your book, you'd be like, yeah, you know, I felt amazing, felt confident, I knew I looked good, I felt powerful, I went up and, God, blown out with my terrible line. Do you know what I mean? If you were writing that in a book, that's how you'd want it to be written. And then when we get to real life, we end up not doing anything. It's crazy. Like, when you're writing your book, this is your story. You're writing it about you. When you're writing it actually physically for the book, the choice is, yeah, well, I started investing in property at the age of 26. This is mine. By the age of 30, I retired the first time. I went from 15 grand to 100 grand working at Dell. And then I got kids, and then I had to start working again, and I created a lettings agency, and then that got sold. That's the story. Or the story could be, yeah, I just went and got a job. That's it. You get to write your own story. Okay, so that was step 9. That's the reward. Step 10, then, is what's called the road back. So the road back is basically where you finished the thing, and then once you've finished the ordeal that you've gone through, you've got your reward, you have to basically go back home. And so when you're going back home, you've got to make this decision of, do I fit into the normal house, a normal environment that I was used to before I've gone on hero's ordeal, my hero's journey? Because the person who's gone through that and come back is not the same person who left. And I hope you understand that. So the person who went through family court 31 times in court in 7 years, by the way, is not the same person before the court started, before the kids got abducted twice, as it happens. I'm a completely different person to that original person. It also means I'm a bit more bitter because of that journey. But it also means I'm a hell of a lot more wiser. But it also means I'm a lot more confident in my own ability to stand up and fight for what I believe in. Because I'm not the same person who started that journey. And when I finish and go back, after a period of time, after 5 years, I made the decision not to go back and we moved to Spain. Because I was not the same person who could be put in that little box, which I call the UK. I wanted to expand that and I wanted to go paddle surfing and canoeing and speedboating and snorkeling and all the stuff that we get to do here, just lying in the sun, you know, every single day almost, certainly from like March through to October, better than the one day in July that we actually have summer in the UK. For me, the journey home, I was not the same person, and you're not the same person either. And you shouldn't expect to be the same person. So an elastic band, once stretched, never goes back to its original size. It doesn't stay, by the way. You know, if you stretch an elastic band, it doesn't just stay stretched, does it? It does stretch back to some extent, but not all the way back. And you are the elastic band, and I need you to understand that you are not the same person. The person that made 100 cold calls yesterday is not the same person as you are today, because you've learned a lot from that yesterday. Now, if you've made 100 cold calls every day for the last 3 years, then yesterday's no different than the last 3 years, right? But if you've never made cold calls in your business, and suddenly you start making cold calls, you are now a totally different person. And if you make cold calls for the next 6 months, you will be building upon that person as a character. So it's really important to understand that the road back, sometimes you will be showered with, you'll be showered with praise. Other times, people won't shower you with praise at all because they don't like you anymore, because you're not the same. So my friends changed. Along my journey, my friends changed completely. Certainly, a lot of them dropped off because ultimately, the friends were not the friends that I thought they were. They turned out to be enemies. And some of these are family. So you remember we were talking about the enemies in disguise? And you don't know who they are? And you know, I don't speak to my mum and dad anymore. That is my hero's journey. And, you know, that part of the hero's journey is quite painful. But it is what it is. And so when I'm writing this story, I can choose how to react to that situation. Okay, so step 11 is the what's called the resurrection. And it's basically, it's the bit where you've got to have your, it's like the final battle, if you like. And so the resurrection doesn't take place after the first battle, the second battle, the third battle, nor the 31 times in court. You know, we've got another court date, which is yet to be set, which will be next year now. And so that's a final battle. But we know that's not a final battle either. Sometimes a final battle doesn't come until the very end. And sometimes you lose your final battle. But, you know, in my own personal situation, we'll be fighting that battle till the end. I'm pretty sure of it. Or until the kids are 18. From a money point of view, that final battle could have a definitive time period. So for me right now, you know, we've still got some mortgage debt. We've got a large property portfolio. We've got some mortgage debt. And mortgage debt makes me uncomfortable because at any point, something could happen. The banks call it in. We can't sell the houses, whatever, right? So that makes me uncomfortable. So my job now, my final battle, is to pay all that money down. All that good debt or mortgage debt needs to be paid off. So that millions of pounds worth of property can be put into trust and passed on to the kids. And that's my final battle, if you like. So step 12 is what they call the return with the elixir. And it's interesting because this is very similar to the road back, but this is where the person's changed completely. So what they've put is that this is the final stage of a hero's journey in which they return to the ordinary world a changed man. So they've grown as a person, learned new things, faced lots of dangers, sometimes even death. Sometimes you've faced dangers that are not death, but worse, your reputation. We had a guy from Leeds City Council, social worker, who said that I was a violent individual. No police record. The guy's never met me. He doesn't know anything about me. Doesn't know who I am. Never listened to podcasts because it didn't exist. Didn't know anything about me. But because he listened to my ex-partner, he wrote it and then it was entered as evidence into court. So, like, that's my reputation online. We got a retraction, but too late, it was already entered as evidence. And we are contemplating actually suing Leeds City Council for this, believe it or not. So some of us battles we want to do, some of us we don't. Like, do I really want to go down that path? Not sure yet. But anyway, the return with the elixir is where the hero comes back and they're a completely changed person. And the reward, sometimes it can be a celebration, or the reward can be the change itself. So the change in you as a person could be just the reward that you were looking for. So if you were really unhappy and you go through this hero's ordeal, and by the way, going through this ordeal is painful. It's really painful sometimes, you know. That's why it's an ordeal. That's why it's called a hero's journey. Non-heroes don't go on this journey. Non-heroes get up, go to work. They don't battle for what they believe in. And then they die 67, 2 years after retirement, with a golden carriage clock, no time to enjoy it. Because that's pretty much what happens. And so think about this. This is your own journey. This is, like, you get to write your own story. How cool is that? And most people going through life and they think the story is written for them and they're just a character playing in that story. And that's totally not true. You are the main character and you get to decide what happens in your story. So just going back to coaching for a minute, the only way which you can decide what happens in your story is to plan it. They don't, you know, a director of a film doesn't get to Star Wars 7 and go, and action. And the character's like, what am I saying? It's like, I don't know, just make it up. Just make it, come on, we're filming, just make it up. It doesn't work like that. First of all, the story's written, and then the storyboard it, and then we have a director who then thinks about, you know, how each bit's going to be filmed. The actor has to ask, you know, what is my motivation in this scene? I'm pretty sure no actor ever has ever asked what's my motivation, but you know what I mean? The lovers and darlings in the acting world. It's all planned for. You don't just turn up and write Star Wars and film Star Wars and you end up with a great Star Wars film or Superman film or whatever other film it is. That stuff's got to be planned. And so if you're writing your own story, you need to, I mean, we're in December, we're talking a lot about planning. The last podcast was about planning, but that's where it all is. But for you to understand that you are the hero in your own story, you are not a bit player in somebody else's story. This is your movie. This is your button. You get to write it. So we mentioned the hero's journey in the last podcast, or it might have been the one before, because we've recorded a couple all together, and they all roll into one. And I just wanted to expand on the hero's journey, because for me, the big difference is me understanding that, one, I get to write my own story is really powerful, and two, how do I want that book to be read by the future generation reading about my story? I can say, you know, I went through a period of depression, but do people want to read about that? They might want to understand that, but really they want to understand how I got myself through that, how I got myself over that. What are the steps that I took? And all the steps are included in this hero's journey. So I just wanted to expand on that little bit that I mentioned in the last podcast about the hero's journey. It's quite a long one today, actually, but a goodie, I think you'll agree. So look, I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your hero's journey. If you've got any feedback, just drop me a line. My name's Dan Latto, and we'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.